WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my Costas gear on. I'm all fired up from my final crab cake and a little crab imperial making me feel like a king over Dundalk. We're going to have Wes Moore, also Pam Wood from the Baltimore Banner, and Mickey Coachella all joining us at Costas to celebrate 31 years of doing this. It's almost 31 years, but we're pretty well into it. We're about, 1995, 96, 27 seasons now into Ravens football and a lot longer into baseball. It just feels like we haven't won a World Series since 1983. Probably because we haven't. Luke Jones is here, and dude, we talk football, and we're going to talk Lamar, we're going to talk Jets, we're going to talk Joe Flacco, we're going to talk all sorts of things. But when it comes to baseball, they're going to keep this relevant in September, right? I mean, this is a true pennant race. It's the real thing. I don't say that there's pressure on them, but I think as fans invest in this, fans are starting to expect them to be playing really meaningful games 3 weeks from now. I don't know what it means for attendance. I don't know what it means for playoffs, but I know they're really in this thing. And I know for folks like you that have suffered the last 5 years, Luke, this is very, very gratifying to be in this position where every night there's a different star. That's the magic of Oriole baseball.
No question about it. And I think if you weren't convinced or if you had questions as far as how long they can keep this going in the context of 2022. How can you not be impressed with going to Houston and taking 2 out of 3 from the AL leading Astros and
the world
had a chance on Sunday?
The Astros, right? The team that the Yankees are afraid of, right?
Like, right. I don't know what else you can expect. I mean, this team's played 640 baseball since the start of July. You know, they were 16-9 in July. They're 16-9 over their first 25 games of August. I mean, I just don't know what else you can be looking for in the context of wanting to know if this is real for the rest of the year. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to make the playoffs. They're, you know, through the weekend, they're a game and a half out of the last wild card spot. It's going to be tough. These other teams
go 7-18 in September sometimes too, right? Like literally.
Well, sure. I mean, they can, but you know, I think you look at it at this point and, you know, they've played excellent baseball since the trade deadline. You know, they didn't keel over and just perish at the thought of Trey Mancini being dealt, the thought of Jorge Lopez being dealt, although it certainly put more of a strain on their bullpen, but they're winning games. And you go to Houston and you win a series and you had a chance even on Sunday to get a sweep. You know, despite the fact they're not swinging the bats at a high clip, they got terrific pitching over the course of the weekend. I mean, look at what Bradish did on Friday night. Look at what Dean Kramer did on Saturday. Austin Both gave them a great chance on Sunday. So
it was he had at Costas the other night, by the way, Austin Both.
Sure.
I saw the pitching out there of that.
No question about it. But it really is a case of every time they lose a couple games or they go through a little stretch where you're just like, all right, is this starting to turn? I mean, look at Thursday night. That was a great example of it. Thursday night, looking like they're going to lose to the White Sox. And you know, the left fielder drops a pop-up down the left field line. And Kyle Stowers is down to an 0-2 count against Liam Hendricks. And you know, Liam Hendricks throws a little bit of a flat curveball. You know, was able to speed up the bat because Stowers was late on his fastball. And he hits a game-tying home run. And the Orioles win in extra innings. I mean, every time you feel like, all right, is this the moment where it starts to go a little sideways, they come right back and they win the next series or they win the next night. And it's just at this point, I just don't know if you're still waiting to buy into it, you're missing out. I mean, just enjoy it. And that's not to say that they're destined to make a deep playoff run or that I'm even guaranteeing that they're going to make it. But at this point, I just don't know how you can look at this thing and see how well they've played for a couple months now. And like I said, 640 baseball since the start of July, which, by the way, you know, we're entering September this week. So, you know, that's 2 months, you know, that's a third of the season and not think that there isn't any reason that they can't be hanging around and still right there and still having a shot the last week of the season. And, you know, maybe it comes down to a 1989 scenario, Orioles and Blue Jays, and maybe it'll have a happier ending this time around. But
I saw an old picture of Bob Mallacky. I showed off my timeline here this week. So, you know, things are happening around here, right?
Yeah, just make sure no one steps on a nail like Pete Harnish, right? I mean, it's just
Toronto, man, you know.
Yeah, but hey, Dave Johnson stepped in and did a great job. But, I mean, this is just really fun. And again, you go to, at the start of the series, you know, I was thinking, boy, Can you go to Houston and figure out a way to take two out of three? At the very least, don't get swept, right? Don't be in a position where you get swept and now you're 4.5 games out of the third wild card spot, and then you're starting to feel, all right, is this starting to slip away? Well, lo and behold, they go down there and they win the first two games, and you know, they get the series win in their pocket going into Sunday, and you know, they just didn't swing the bats well enough. And you know, it's disappointing in a one-day sense of Verlander leaves early, has the calf issue, and you're thinking, wow, got a shot, but Astros are pretty darn good. You know, last I checked, their record's the best in the AL with how the Yankees have gone sideways over the last 6-7 weeks. So really impressive. Now you go to Cleveland facing a Guardians team that, you know, has really come on, and you know, they took the lead in the AL Central as the Twins took a step back, and you know, it'll be another challenge. But now we're getting into September call-ups, and we know it's only a couple spots now. It's not the 40-man call-up of the past, but you know, are we going to see Gunnar Henderson this week? Are we going to see DL Hall this week? You know, what does that mean in terms of, you know, the rest of the lineup? What does that mean in terms of the makeup of the bullpen? So, you know, there's still questions about this team, but in the midst of asking those questions, it's fun to watch. It's been really fun to watch. And I'm sorry, you see what Kyle Bradish did, especially on Friday night. I mean, as well as he pitched, it's easily the best we've seen him pitch since that start in St. Louis back in May. It just, you know, every time they win a game, it's not just what makes it fun this year, but for me, it's thinking about the future and the fact that there's so many talented young players in their system that are still on the come and still haven't arrived and are still going to be a meaningful part of what they do. And you know, nothing's guaranteed. You know, I don't want to look so far ahead that you're not appreciating the here and the now, but it's just the combination of those two things where you look at this thing and you know, I feel so much better about most, you know, the baseball ops aspect of the organization than I have in a very long time because of what you see. And, you know, it's showing up, you know, it's showing up. Kyle Stowers,
well, let's
hits
talk
a heroic
about Stowers,
home run.
That's why I wanted to, yeah. Luke Jones is here. You can follow him at Baltimore Luke. And of course, Luke at WNST.net. We're wrapping up the Crab Cake Tour, wrapping up a week here, watching some baseball, getting through Labor Day, getting ready for the Jets and the Ravens. Stowers up. Rutschman, slow start, we got all that, the pitching, but the help and the cavalry that we talked about with these special players, right, and Henderson and D.L. Hall, mixing into this thing at 18-7 the last couple of months and how they've played. Stowers, there was a he wasn't a guy we talked about, you know, so much as being impactful for the last two or three years, kind of coming on a little bit more, but brought up big. All of these guys, when they get in and they have one success, even if they've been scuffling like he was, that drop ball, the home run, the level of confidence for the young guys. Rutschman went through that a little bit in the beginning, finding that thing. But this is as advertised for a lot of these guys that once they come up, they're probably here to stay. You know, that this isn't going to be an up down type of situation for a lot of these guys. These are guys that once they're here to stay.
Yeah, you're certainly hoping so. And let's be clear. I mean, Kyle Stowers, is he of the slam dunk prospect variety in the way that we talk about Rutschman, in the way that we're talking about Gunnar Henderson, in the way that we've talked about Grayson Rodriguez? No, you know, he's never been that highly touted. However, second round pick in 2019 out of Stanford, you know, he's got power. I mean, you look at him, he looks lanky. You know, he kind of has that lanky build to him. He's listed at 6'3", 200. I'm not sure he's 200 pounds. I mean, he's kind of a skinny guy, but he's got some power. And look at the power he hit for that he showed off at AAA. I mean, this guy's got some pop, and you know, he's got some swing and miss. There's no question about that. And that's why, you know, he's a little more of a flawed prospect, but
they all
that's
do,
not,
don't they? Don't they all have swing and miss?
For the most part, right. I mean, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the most part, you
Dave
see
Kingman
that.
Dave Kingman and Reggie Jackson now, right?
Although, I mean, Adley Rutschman doesn't strike out a ton, and he walks a ton. So, you know, it really kind of offsets the little bit he does strike out. But, you know, Stowers even acknowledged it. I mean, being part of the post-game clubhouse on Thursday night when he hits that game-tying homer and Santander walks it off in extra innings, you know, he flat out said, yeah, you know, I've been scuffling a little bit. And he had been, you know, he had a 4-strikeout game. And, you know, I mean, he's playing most days, but he's not playing every day, you know, because, you know, Brandon Hyde's trying to keep guys fresh, get guys off their feet, you know, kind of rotate in, but he's going to play a lot. And for him to have that moment what it means for the team right now is a given, right? I mean, you won a series that, frankly, you should have lost when you consider, you know, the left fielder Adam Engel for the White Sox drops the foul pop that would have been the third out. You know, the game, I was ready to hit send on my tweet saying the Orioles had lost. And then all of a sudden you hear the fans gasp and you look up and it's like, oh, he dropped that. And then suddenly the Orioles have life. And a couple pitches later, you know, Stowers hits a home run. So it's crazy. But, you know, him talking in the post-game clubhouse, you know, he acknowledged he was scuffling. And you just think about what that means, not just for the team in the here and now, but every time one of these young guys succeeds in a situation like that, what
to
effect
win
is that
game? Not just in the fourth inning. I mean, all these guys, Vavra, Urias, Odor, Mateo, they've all won games. They've all been a star during this period of the last 2 months. They've all owned a game and owned a moment and owned the orange Gatorade bath, right? Literally, they've all had that.
Right, no question. And all the guys you mentioned, I mean, Odor is a veteran. So, I mean, he's been around. He's played on some good teams.
But in the framework of this team, they all own a little piece of this pennant race.
Sure.
Even if they came to the party last week, I think that's the fun part of it. It's one thing coming up. It's another thing to get the big hit after you come up and feel like, all right, not just that I belong, but I'm contributing. I'm a part of this.
Right.
That leads to the 3 weeks from now when they're fighting for their life and they need to win five or six a week, not two or three a week, right? And the end of this, because of the way this thing's funneled, they need to go 18-7 next month to make the playoffs. They can't be a 500 team the rest of the way because of
their
playing and the way they're playing.
Right, right. And I don't know if it needs to be an insane kind of finish, but yeah, I mean, it's not looking like this is going to be like 85-77 is going to get you in the third wild card spot. I feel like it's going
to
be
heroes, as my dad would say. We're going to need to be a few more champagne baths here at the end. They're going to need to win some more games like they've won. And that's what makes it exciting because they're in 1 and 2 run games every night. They have the ability to do this every night and they have big bats.
Yeah, well, and that, for me, that's the big key. I mean, they need the bats to get going a little more consistently. If you actually look at the month of August, it's been one of their, you know, it's kind of been their best, or at least one of their best months offensively. But it's been so hot and cold. I mean, we remember against the Red Sox two Fridays ago, you know, they put up what 15 runs in the first five innings, I think it was. You know, so they had some of these offensive explosions, but then they had these other games where, you know, they're only scoring a run or two. I mean, look at the Houston series; they won two out of three and. It was not big time scoring. They scored 6 runs the entire series.
It was better pitching against a first place team.
No question. And you know, we've talked about this. Offense is down around baseball. It's been, you know, a lower run scoring environment. It just in general in the league. But for me, I do look at the offense right now. If we're trying to extrapolate this out and look at the rest of the year and try to project, I have some concerns about the bullpen just because, I mean, Batista's amazing. Dylan Tate, for the most part, he's had a couple hiccups over the last 10 days or so. For the most part, he's done a really nice job. They have other guys in that middle relief category that had done so well. But when you traded Jorge Lopez, for me, again, I said to you, it wasn't about Batista for me. He's going to step in and he's going to do great in that closer's role. It's the fact that you're not closing Felix Batista to do that. He's still one guy. So everyone else had to move up the food chain. And
he's not taking 6 outs all of a sudden.
Right, right. Although he's taken 4 or 5 outs a lot of nights and doing, I mean, we haven't said enough about him, how good he's been, but he can't pitch every single night. He can't take every single high leverage situation. So what that means is you are leaning a little more on Cionel Perez. You're leaning more on Joey Crable, who's struggled here of late after doing a pretty nice job for them the two previous months. You're leaning on Brian Baker. And you just look at this and look, DL Hall could step into somewhere into that chain and help you out. And that's the plan. But he's a rookie. You know, how's he going to respond to that despite having a fantastic arm? So that's if there's something that concerns me most right now, other than just, hey, it's a young team. And, you know, the whole idea of are they going to continue to keep this up? You know, just the general question you ask of any team in this category, it is the bullpen because of just how stretched they are. That's why for me, it was so encouraging to see what they did starting pitching wise over the weekend. I mean, this team getting 7 inning starts has not been. That's not been part of the formula to their success this year.
Especially against first place. That's what you're going to need.
Exactly.
October, whatever, if you're going to see the Houston Astros at some point for a long weekend, you need your starters to match up. You can't have starters get knocked out of the game in the third inning.
Yeah, I mean,
in the playoffs, it'll be different because
playoff baseball is just it's such a weird animal.
Which plays into the Orioles' hand that if they get into this thing, as we've proven over the weekend,
who knows?
They can bounce anybody because they can.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the nature of baseball. If you are competent, I mean, you can win. What's crazy, and we didn't even mention this, the Orioles swept Houston in Houston last year, which go figure. It's weird. Just as weird as it gets. Not that I'm shocked that they won a series, but they did what they did over the first two games. It's just like, wow.
When they went to Houston and like struck out 20 times to 23 times, like
when they were actually
times in a weekend, it was crazy.
They actually did that when they were still kind of sort of that was on the back end of them, the end of the Buck prosperity. But yeah, they had a 3-game series. I think they struck out, 54 times or something. I mean, it was absurd. Crazy. It was silly. But I do look at the pen, and Brandon Hyde's gotten a lot of slack from fans who are really kind of getting into this, as we talked about, as they should.
I don't know why you go to the bullpen there, right?
It's not even so much going to the bullpen, it's who is he bringing in, right? And that's where I look at this thing and say, well, you know what, darn that Brandon Hyde, because he didn't go to Felix Bautista twice in the same game. I mean, it's just, look, we can debate certain moves here and there, and there have been times where I think he's lifted someone too quickly to go to someone else, and when you do that, you always run the risk of that second guy coming in and not having it that night, right? I mean, that happens. I mean, that happened with the Buck Showalter era from time to time, although the bullpens were overall very good. But that's where I just look at this thing, and Batista's been phenomenal, but you're really missing that other high leverage, high impact, missing bats kind of arm that Jorge Lopez was for them over the first 4 months of the season. So if there's something that does concern me, as far as how they're just, their general roster makeup right now, it is that. But that's where I do bring it back to, you mentioned the starting pitching, and that's part of it. Starters giving you a little more length, a couple more outs. Can you make the bridge the seventh inning rather than the sixth inning all the time in terms of going from starter to back end of the bullpen? But that's where I keep coming back to the offense. They need Ryan Mountcastle to pick it up. He'll flash. He's showing a flash here or there over the last few weeks where, get a hold of one and you say, okay, is this the start of it? But by and large, he hasn't produced since July, early July. Same with Austin Hayes. We've seen Austin Hayes show a glimmer of maybe getting out of it, but then he goes back to having a couple offers. So, they're going to need some of these guys that are, I don't want to say they're widely established in a big picture sense, but guys that have been around for 2 or 3 years now, they're going to need some of those guys to get going. Yes, I'd love to see Gunnar Henderson come up, and I'd love to see him give them a spark, and I think he can, and I certainly would like to see him as an upgrade playing third base. Ramon Urias slides to second base, platoon him with Vavra. Odor becomes a bench option for you now rather than a guy that's playing most days. And I think that could be an upgrade for you. But at the same time, Gunnar Henderson could scuffle for a couple weeks. Adley Rutschman scuffled for a few weeks, and he's looking like a guy that is right there to be rookie of the year and is their most valuable player at this point. He's their best player already, and I don't think it's close. That's how good he is, but he scuffled for a few weeks. So at some point in time, they're leaning so hard on their pen, but can the bats get going a little bit more? Can Ryan Mountcastle get hot? Can Austin Hayes look more like the guy he was over the first 3 months of the season, which he was their best player over the first 3 months of the season, in my opinion. So, can those guys get going? Can Rutschman keep this up? And I think he will, because I think he's that good. Can Cedric Mullins, who has swung the bat better in August, can he keep it going and look more like the guy he was last year down the stretch? You just go down the list. I mean, Mateo's been so much better with the bat over the last 6-7 weeks. Can he keep that up? So, they have guys that are capable of doing it. I'm not saying that to think that, to paint a negative outlook. For me, it's providing a reason why they could do this and why they can hang in there, because, they have some guys who haven't performed up to a certain expectation level that if they can get it going over the last 5 weeks here, got a heck of a shot. And what more can you ask for then? So, but that, looking at the bullpen, how much they've had to lean on those guys, you're seeing a couple cracks here and there as far as getting to Batista at the end of the game. It would go a long way if your starters can, you know, continue to do a little more of what they did against Houston, which, you know, not saying Kyle, you can't expect Kyle Bradish to do that every time, but get a little more length of out of their starters, and they need the bats to pick up, because Houston, fine. I mean, you're going up against the best team in the AL, but they've had some other stretches here, even games when they've won, where the bats don't pick up until later in the night. And it's just like, boy, you're just putting so much pressure on your bullpen that if you can alleviate that a little bit, it's just going to make you that much better and give you that much more of a chance as we get later into September.
Big week ahead for the Birds, first place and then first place. They'll see Cleveland, and you know, it's going to be a wild week. It's going to be a wild month every single night. They're in it. They're in a race. It's been a long, long time since we've had this sort of a race, right? Like, you talk about 12, 14, 16, those years, and, you know, how they were. This is completely unique to them. Maybe a little bit more like 12, but they had more veterans around then. But this is stalking from behind, where you really feel like they're a little engine that could, that if they get in, they might be trouble in October. They really might. Especially if they get in, it'll mean they're surging to some degree the way they've been surging the last 2 months, which you brought up in the beginning.
Right, right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they've played so well since early July. I mean, I think we all think back. This is right when I went on vacation and they had the two walk-off losses to the Twins, right? And you're just thinking, all right, well, you know, they've played pretty well over the last 5 or 6 weeks. You know, they've been better. But at that point, you were thinking, okay, this is starting to not feel great. And, you know, the bullpen gives up a couple of leads, and that's when they reeled off their long winning streak. I mean, from that point on, it hasn't been these long, you know, winning 6 or 7 in a row, but they're winning series. I mean, just look at the most recent, you know, just go back.
When's the last time they lost 3 in a row? Been a long time.
3 in a row? I mean, you have to go back to, what, June, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, they haven't lost 3 in a row. I haven't woken up and seen them in trouble.
So.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was June. I mean, I'd have to look at the schedule just to make sure. But, you know, it was the end of June into early July. And since then, I mean, it's, you know, they've lost 2 in a row. On a couple of occasions,
lose 3
but
in a row, they
I mean, it's been that good.
Streak, Luke, is what they call that. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
no
when
question.
You don't lose 3 in a row, it's very hard to fall backward. I mean, that would be my point. Not just a 3-game weekend, but they have not had a bad week in 3 months. I mean, that's an amazing thing. They haven't had a 2-5. They haven't had anything like that in a long time.
I mean, they look at it. They won the Houston series. They won the White Sox series. They won the Reds. And I'm just going back. You know, I'm going back in time. They won the Red Sox series. They lost the makeup game to the Cubs. It was a 1-game. But they won a series in Toronto. They did lose the series against the Rays back August 12th through the 14th. But
and they lost those first 2 games, right? They had it. They almost got. So, am I right in saying that?
No. The Rays they won that for they won the first game and then they lost the last two. You know, they haven't played well at the Trop. You know, they haven't. It's a weird environment. You know, it's weird. You know, I mean, you've been there before. It doesn't feel like Major League Baseball there.
You're
but
being too
the Rays
loud.
Play
you're being too
other
loud.
Than yeah other than the Rays
scare the fish
good. So but you just go through. I mean I just you know I didn't mention the series before that, but. Yeah, start of August, they swept Texas, 2 out of 3 from the Pirates, 2, you know, took the first 2 against Toronto, and there was a rainout then. I mean, they're winning series. You know, they're winning 2 out of 3 consistently. And when you do that over time,
you're 18-7.
It's a pretty darn good record. You know, so that's where they are right now. And there are times when, you know, it doesn't look you know, the prettiest necessarily, but
dude,
they're getting it done.
This is by far not even close
it's
to
fantastic.
Being the best Oriole team I've seen. I mean, I've seen better players. I've seen more spectacular. I mean, look, when Ubaldo Jimenez was around, you felt like you had a starting pitcher. These guys at the beginning of the year, if you looked at any of them, you'd say, what do we really have here? How in the world could they play 500 ball, let alone, you know, above 500 ball, 640 ball for 2 months with this team? Especially given the averages. Now, the power all here and all that, but they're not like this awesomely constructed. They're not the Yankees as you look at them, right? As a lineup, they're not the Astros as we've seen the Astros over the weekend.
No, no question about it. I mean, offensively, they've been average to slightly below average. It's kind of been where they've been most of the year.
All of these guys could and should have better seasons in the season. That Mullins had a better year last year. And for all these guys, I mean, Hayes was okay in the beginning of the year, but through a season, you would look at all these guys and say, maybe Santander, you'd say, okay, maybe this is as good as it's going to get for him, but not many of these. Maybe Bautista, but there aren't many guys here that you'd say this is their ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, Rutschman's been excellent, but even him, he's going to be way better than this. I mean, all the doubles he hits are going to turn into home runs. I don't say this lightly. You know me. I'm not someone that says things for shock value. I'm just, it's not my nature, right? I mean, some people say, oh, you sit on the fence too much at times. And fine, you know, because I'm someone that's analytical and I want to believe what I say. I think Adley Rutschman's already better than Matt Wieters was at his best. That's how good I think Adley Rutschman is. So, and that's how much better I think he's going to continue to get. You know, I think this guy
is a better athlete than Wieters, like just in a general sense.
Yeah, he runs better than Wieters. And look, it's that faint praise runs well for a catcher, right? But he actually does run pretty well for a catcher. He's not going to steal bases, but it's everything with him. It's his pitch framing. It's how he handles the staff. Fast pop time to throw runners out trying to steal. He walks, you know, he's got such a great command of the strike zone. He understands what a ball and strike is. How many Orioles hitters can you really say that about over the last 20 years? Nick Markakis, you know, a couple guys for the most part, even their best players like an Adam Jones, who I have such an affinity for, was a free swinger, right? I mean, Adam didn't walk, you know. I mean, Rutschman, what he does is he doubles and he walks, you know, at the plate. And that's a really good combination. But to go back to what you said, with some of these other guys, that's why I do still have some optimism in terms of this team even being slightly better than what they've been from a standpoint of, can he get some of these guys going offensively? You know, Rutschman's been terrific. Mateo's been really good compared to what he was earlier in the season. Santander has had a really good season, and walks have been a big reason why. And, you know, the power's come along after he wasn't hitting for quite as much power early in the season. But you look at the other guys, you know, Mullins has picked it up in August, but Hayes hasn't hit, and Mountcastle hasn't hit, and Odor hasn't been hitting at all. So that's why, again, bring up Gunnar Henderson, put him into a bench role. You know, I'm not saying get rid of Rougned Odor. He has meant a lot to their clubhouse, but doesn't mean he needs to play every day. So, you know, that's why I'd love to see Gunnar Henderson and, you know, shuffle things there a little bit and see if you can get a little more of a spark for this offense. But, you know, by and large, that is what's crazy because of what you just said. And I agree. Other than inserting Rutschman, which is a big other than, right? I mean, this is a guy that has been their best player since about early June, you know, when he really got going offensively after a slow start. But other than him, you don't have all these guys that are having this unbelievable season. I mean, Mateo, because this is the first time he's played in his career, right? And we know he's played Gold Glove defense and he's been a base stealer and he swung the bat well since July. But you know, it's not as though Mullins is having a career year or Mountcastle or Hayes or, you know, go down the list. I mean, you know, even Trey Mancini before he was traded wasn't having this fantastic year for them. So it's not like they were getting crazy good production from him. So that's where you do look at this thing and it is kind of crazy. But that's why I'm also so excited and so bullish on the future in the sense of what they're doing now, as unexpected as it is, as fun as it is. This is still not even close to what theoretical peak Orioles should be under Mike Elias, and they still have the top farm system. And, you know, Jackson Holliday just started playing at Delmarva, and, you know, he could be here 2 years from now. Who knows? I mean, that's how talented he is. So,
well, when I was down at Shore last, we got Carl Anderson on. If anybody went and watched all that, you know, the people that follow the Shorebirds down there, you know, they know the minute that guy shows up, right?
Oh, literally. No question. So, I mean, there are exciting guys at every level, and there are more to come. So that's what makes this so fun, because it's not just, you know, it's not just. It feels like, okay, this is lightning in a bottle, like an impossible dream kind of why not kind of season, and then they're just going to fall back next year. There are no guarantees. Let's be clear about that, and that's why I want to see them have a good, more aggressive offseason, and that's going to be another conversation you and I will have as we get to the offseason. But you really do feel like so many of these guys are ascending, and other guys are going to be coming that, frankly, are going to replace some of these guys. You know, some of the names we're talking about right now aren't going to be here in a couple years. And the reason why is they're going to be better players that replace them. And, you know, that's part of how this works. And, you know, that's what's exciting. That's why I said, I can't guarantee to you that Kyle Stowers is going to be their right fielder for the next 6 or 7 years, because they've got outfielders in their system that are more highly touted than him. Now, doesn't mean he can't be, but the point is you have multiple options, and that's where you get into, if you really have a system worth its salt, it's not just bringing guys up. It's also dealing guys for other, you know, like starting pitching, for example. You deal a couple of these guys and you acquire some team's number two starter and Oh, now your rotation looks so much better. So it's all of that together. And again, I still have questions.
Well, a year when Hall and Rodriguez get hurt and they could maybe make the playoffs don't make it to the big leagues and they're still on the cusp of doing this, those were considered their best pitchers. The fact that they're getting this soft underbelly to perform, it is reminiscent of Wei Yan Chen and Miguel Gonzalez and, you know, whatever I was going to bring Lopez into this because he showed up for the old timers game last week or whatever it was.
But Jason Hamill.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. just guys that aren't prospects in this way or high ceiling prospects to be able to make a playoff run without all of that. It's kind of it does speak to the future of what could be very good here the next couple of years.
Yeah, no question. And you mentioned Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall. How about the fact that their opening day starter, the guy who has been their ace, whether he was a true ace, but really good pitcher, John Means underwent Tommy John surgery in April. I mean, we've forgotten about John Means and how good he had been the last couple of years. They didn't have him. So while they have remained very healthy on a position player front. So it's worth noting that. But if anyone had told you that the Orioles, we'd be talking about the Orioles approaching Labor Day weekend as being a legit wild card contender. Like they're right there, you know, they've been a game and a half, 2 games out for quite a while now. But if someone had told you that, and then they had said, oh, but John Means underwent Tommy John surgery in April, you probably would have said, okay, well, how many starts did Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall make? Well, you would have said, well, DL Hall made one start down at the Trop, but they're moving him to the bullpen for the rest of the year, and they got to manage his innings. That part wouldn't have been as shocking to me. But, oh, yeah, Grayson Rodriguez hasn't made it to the majors yet because he got hurt back in June. I would have said to you, what the heck are you talking about? How in the world would they be anywhere close to where they are right now? So it is really a testament to what they've done. You know, the players on the roster, the coaching staff, credit the front office, a lot of these guys that have contributed on the pitching side, and some of their, you know, Jorge Mateo, a lot of these guys were waiver claims the last couple of years. So they clearly identified guys that had traits and they identified some corrections to make, a mechanical adjustment, you know, something analytically based, you know, a pitcher where you say, hey, your slider's really good. You should throw it more. The types of things that other teams used to do with former Orioles players, the Orioles are now starting to do that with other teams' players coming here. I mean, Jorge Mateo, go look at his minor league profile. This was a very highly touted prospect at one point, and he didn't pan out, you know, in San Diego and the Yankees, and winds up with the Orioles and gets a chance to play here. And he's been a valuable player. I mean, he's a guy who's played so well that he might stick as their shortstop for the next couple of years, even with Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday and all, you know, Jordan Westberg coming up in their system. So it really is a testament to the organization, and they still have work to do. I still have questions about ownership, you know, and what their payroll can potentially be in the future, what they're going to be willing to spend. But in the meantime, what we're seeing right now and what I can see in the future in terms of talent in the system, it's a lot to be excited about. You know, Jordan Lyles said it best after Thursday night's game, you know, the walk-off Kyle Stowers game before they went to Houston. And he said, and I actually believed him when he said this. He said, it's a pretty fun time to be an Orioles fan right now. You know, Jordan Lyles hasn't won anything in his career. You know, so for him to be here, he's been around a long time. You know, he's been in the majors for over a decade. For him to say that, and, you know, he's not really a guy that minces words, you know, in the little bit I've gotten to know him. But you could tell it's like, you know, these young guys, there's a mojo here that's pretty cool. And there's some talent here. And all these guys know that there's more to come. And, you know, not to wish away what's going to happen over these next 4 or 5 weeks and whether they get in or not. But there's a lot to be excited about.
Well, take your chance now, right? You don't find in the best season, you don't find yourself in this position.
You never know.
On September 1 around here very often. Certainly, I've 31 years on radio. We haven't had a handful of these that really feel like this. And that's good, man. Hey, have a great week. Enjoy the games out in Cleveland. We'll continue to convene here. I know you're following all things Ravens. You can follow Luke Jones at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net as we get ready for the Jets game next week. Of course, everything we're doing out at Baltimore Positive, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, wrapping up for now. We'll get back out on Fridays and football season. We'll be out every week, but certainly not 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries every day. My friends at Costas, big thanks to them for hosting the conclusion of all this. Wes Moore, Pam Wood, Mickey Coachella, Don Moeller all coming over on Tuesday to get ready as we get ready for a pennant race. and a real football season. I feel like a Colts fan back in 79 or something like that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Playoff fever. BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.